Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Let's check in with reporter Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, since we last spoke, have you been doing more traveling?
Yes, Bob. Good afternoon. I'm back in Lviv now, and I just went to that small village for the day yesterday. And it was, you know, as I mentioned, that this village I went to, I had visited before the war, and I wanted to see how a small place like that was affected and changed by this, you know, by Russia's full scale invasion. And in this little village of 1,000 people, 30 men have been drafted or have volunteered for the fight. Hmm. And, you know, and then with just 1,000 people, I mean, that's a big impact on the village. And so everyone is deeply connected to the war. And I was there with an American friend, Charlie, and our Polish friend, Beata, and they brought wool socks and shirts and warm clothes for the winter, durable, high quality stuff for these families to send to their brothers, their fathers, and even some sisters who are fighting, you know, on the front lines. And they were so grateful for the support that we brought that, you know, you see Ukrainian hospitality. Because everyone in the village, when I was talking to you yesterday, it was a bit chaotic. There were chickens running around and dogs barking and horses everywhere. Hmm. But there's such a bounty in the land. And even if they don't have, in these little villages, lots of money, they live in a very civilized way. And so we went to two different houses, and at each house, there was an incredible feast with the most tender chicken I think I've ever had, and amazing rabbit. And so they, out of gratitude, they give from the bounty that they have. But also, and at both houses, there was the ritual was the same. There's sort of the table is laid in the same way. You enter the house, and there's various salads and sandwiches, and then they bring out soup, and then they bring out little shot glasses, of course, for the homemade semolinka, the Ukrainian moonshine, or the homemade wine. And you see that people live according to these ancient traditions of hospitality, and they follow the same rubrics. And it really is a sign of a healthy society. And there's also this tradition where your hosts don't necessarily sit with you. They want the guest to be taken care of. And so even in wartime, even with all the struggles, here they are trying to share the bounty of their land. And, you know, they're so happy. We had a guy from France, a woman from Poland, and two Americans there. And they were so happy to, you know, have this like mini United Nations in these houses in the village. And so it really was a beautiful day to witness. As we were driving there with our little small delegation, you know, my American friend was saying, you know, there's so much potential in Ukraine, you know, to develop and change and become more, you know, like America and more like Europe and join the European Union. And my Polish friend and I were saying, you know, we hear from a lot of Ukrainians who, you know, they go as refugees right now to Germany and to other countries in Europe, and they want to come home. You know, and they realize how good they had it these past 8 years. You know, maybe they don't have, you know, excessive amounts of money, but they're not in debt, you know, and they have more of a simple and calm life. And so I think there's really is an appreciation for the sort of unique society that they have developed here.
Yeah, it's amazing. You tell us about the traditions and the culture there, and it's surviving the wartime experience, which is good to know. And I'm told that you even ran into a Chicago couple.
Yeah, it was sort of in life, I guess, but especially life in war, you know, you feel like you're in some strange movie or dream. And we came back to Lviv last night, and our visiting friends from Poland and America were at a hotel in the center of the city, and we were having a nightcap at the bar. And there was a couple from somehow we started talking, and there's a couple who they live in Paris, but they're from Chicago. And the guy was the executor of the estate of Ernest Hemingway, which, you know, Hemingway is a hero to me. And, you know, I'm sort of, especially now, you know, given he was doing reporting in wartime Spain. But the guy grew up listening to WGN radio. We talked about the great Chicago broadcaster Studs Terkel, who was a great American storyteller and chronicler. And then this guy's wife, she somehow we started talking, and she said, "Wait a second, were you in that strange TV show with Russell Crowe where you were locked in a house by the chairman of Fox News. And so she had seen the loudest voice, the show about my experience working with and escaping from Roger Ailes at Fox News. And so we do need to find humor in the wartime. And so I was inspired to, perhaps because I had the homemade spirits in the village earlier, I told the story that I told your audience about the weekend starving at Chuck Norris's house. And so we had, and it really is nice to have these moments where we can laugh and joke. Yesterday, the city of Zaporizhia, which I visited a few times, residences were destroyed with some shelling. These Iranian drones continue to be a menace. And the world is more and more, I think, on edge. On this nuclear question. So we were able to have a good laugh last night.
Yeah, you need that. And with all the pressure on Putin now, it seems that people say that his response is usually in that kind of situation to escalate. So that's why tensions are high, right?
Yeah, and for example, if you go to Drudge Report right now, it says Putin in his bunker, and it's not true. It's a metaphor. And so I think we got to be careful about escalating this in our own minds. And I think that's why sort of these moments of laughter are good. We got to stay calm, even as I received iodine pills yesterday. But one good example is, so today in Oslo, Norway, the Nobel Peace Prize was awarded. And it was awarded to a citizen of Belarus, which suffers under dictatorship, to a Russian human rights organization, and to a Ukrainian human rights organization called the Center for Civil Liberties. And the leader of that group, she's 38 years old. Her name is Oleksandra Matvichuk. And I think this is pretty extraordinary for the Nobel Prize, because in 2014, when Russia, so it was Ukrainian Revolution of Dignity, where the people said, we won't be controlled by Russia, we don't want to live in that type of jail. And Russia took the Crimean Peninsula from Ukraine. And so 2014, 8 years ago, Oleksandra Matvichuk, who just got the Nobel Prize today, she met with Vice President Biden. And she said, we need weapons. We need weapons to fight Russia, because if we don't stop them now, it's going to be worse. Hmm. And in March, she gave an interview with London's independent newspaper. And she said, had the Obama and Biden administration listen to her 8 years ago, we would not be in the situation today. And she said, we have no time for emotions or reflection or for pain, for we are in a war. And after the announcement was made in Oslo today, so it's extraordinary that the Nobel Peace Prize Committee, has given the award in part to someone who was called for weapons, because in this case, to have peace, you have to fight. Right. And today, after just you posted on Facebook an hour ago, the Russia needs to be excluded from the UN Security Council. And she said, mass mobilization of ordinary people in different countries of the world and their joint voice can change the world history faster than United Nations intervention.
Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine, we so appreciate you giving us reports on those slices of life there and the news of the day. And at the same time, you have the iodine in case of nuclear fallout. I don't know how you do it, but we're grateful. We'll talk Monday. Thank you very much.
Well, it was nice to have that additional Chicago connection. Thank you, Bob.
We appreciate hearing about that, too.